Can I have a couple of people help me with the communion? We better pray for Connie too. Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over Connie and this stomach bug that has attacked her. We command it in the name of Jesus to be removed from her, causing her to be healthy and strong in every way. Father, clean this body out and bring her forward in Jesus' name. Amen. The body of Christ is represented by this bread. And God wants us to identify the different things to happen to the body of Christ in His passion. See, this is how we discern the body of Christ. We look at that sacrifice and see what happened to Him. That perfect, sinless body of Jesus got beaten and bruised for us. And then the Bible tells us that He took stripes on His back. And if you notice, there are stripes in this bread. And the Bible tells us that it's by His stripes we were healed. And then Jesus' body was pierced. And everywhere His body was pierced, He shed blood. And that was for remission for us. We get redemption in certain areas. You'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. That means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. He took the full brunt of it. He took all of our sins, past, present, and future. He took all of the curse. That means everywhere we failed, He took the punishment for it. He took all of the sicknesses on Him, all of the diseases on Him. And He did it for us. That was the punishment that we deserved. And He took it. God treated Him the way we deserve to be treated so that He could treat us the way Jesus deserves to be treated. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being, and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. That perfect, sinless blood of Jesus that was shed 2,000 years ago for our sins is still alive. Because the Bible tells us in 1 John 1:7 that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. So it has to still be alive. It's continually cleansing us. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. And it's by that blood that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's all about that perfect, sinless blood of Jesus that was shed for us. That's why the Bible says we've been made white as wool. Our sins have been washed away. So we thank You for this in Jesus' name. Open up your Bibles to Psalms chapter 103. But I want to talk to you just a little bit about the political environment in Jesus' day. See, he wasn't just roughing up a bunch of ragtag preachers. See, in Israel, when Jesus got here, the Roman governor, he was the most powerful figure in Judea. But most everybody was in Rome, except for this guy, the guys that protected him. They still had a whole bunch of government that was in that area. They still had to answer to the Roman governor. But Caiaphas, the high priest, he was second in command. You know, basically, Israel had their own government. They were controlled by another government, but they still had another government that they dealt with. You know, the Pharisees, you know, actually, we'll start with the Sadducees. The Sadducees, they sucked up to Rome. They were close. They were tight buddies with Rome. That was one of the things that made them mad about Jesus. They didn't want him to get in there and cause any friction between them and Rome because they had a good thing going on. And then we have the Pharisees. They wanted separation from Rome so they could have a religious state. And then we had the Zealots. They wanted to overthrow Rome. And then we had, these are a special group, the Essenes. These were the hippies of the time. They lived in communes. And don't forget the scribes. They were the government officials overseeing law and local governance. Remember, Jesus warned them about scribes. They devoured widows of their whatever little prosperity they had. So there's five different political groups that Jesus dealt with on a day-to-day basis. And John even called them a brood of vipers. Jesus warned about these people. I'm going to warn about these people. Right now, we're just a couple steps away from liberty. But don't think that there isn't some more bumps in the road. I think today we're just on the very edge of stepping in to our first jubilee. I can't prove it, but I think that's what's happening. I think we're going to step into a jubilee and enjoy liberty, not just freedom, but liberty. I mean, you're set free from the tyrannical government and outside interests. And you live in true freedom. You know, I wondered, you know, I thought about this after a guy told me this. He said that he worked with a guy from Germany. And they were in Germany, and this guy was going to go on a trip to America for a while. And he came over to America, and he come back, and he said, "You got to talk about all this freedom you have, but the only thing you're really free to do is shoot each other." Well, literally, the whole world has been brought into subjection. We're in this totally controlled environment, and Americans seem to be the last people to understand this. You're not really as free as you think. How many of you have driver's license? I mean, you paid somebody to give you permission to drive your car. How many of you pay taxes on your car to keep it licensed? I mean, you're paying somebody rent to drive the car that you paid for. This is the truth. Only pay taxes on your land and houses. And you're paying rent on a house that you paid for. You're paying somebody to give you permission to live in something that you paid for or built. How free are you? But I think we're going to be set into liberty. You know, liberty is one of those laws that we're supposed to be living under. Did you know that? There's a law of liberty. There's a law of love and a law of faith. That's New Testament laws that have been specifically pointed out. Law of love, law of faith, law of liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that you've been put into. Don't be brought into subjection to the religious laws. Now, in this transformation that we're going to go through, since we obviously can't see everything and we obviously don't know everything, we don't know how we're going to get from point A to point B, we just know we're on the way. So we're going to have to walk by faith, not by sight. It would be a very, very good thing to have your angels up off the bench and out on the field. See, a lot of people have this habit of keeping their angels on the bench by the words of their mouth. You know, one thing that in the prayer of agreement, people don't seem to get a hold of this. It says, whatever you bind in heaven shall be bound on earth. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What does that mean? What needs to be bound up in heaven? There's nothing needs to be bound up in heaven. He's telling us, whatever you allow here on this earth, he has to allow it. Why? Because he gave us dominion over this earth. How do we allow something? With the words of our mouth. When we speak negative words, when we speak what the world says about us, run around saying, well, I'm so broke, I can't even pay attention. Stop saying that. Don't ever say that again. It's the words of our mouth. The Bible tells us, with the fruit of a man's lips shall his belly be filled, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. With the fruit of a man's lips shall a man's belly be satisfied. When the increase of his lips shall he be filled. That means whatever you're saying, that's what you're going to be getting filled with. You know, we need to make sure that we say what the Bible says about us, what we say what God says about us, so we can get these angels involved in our situation. Unless you think that you can manage on your own, I'm going to rely on the grace of God and the protection of angels myself. Because I'm not so talented that I can just go out there and wing it. I'm going to rely on Him. Now, I want you to look down here in Psalms chapter 103, verse 1. We'll start right there. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefit, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction and crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. See, we catch David there. Talking to himself. What was he doing? He was meditating on the word of God. See, God told Joshua to let not this book of the law depart from thy mouth, but meditate there day and night, that thou mayest do according to all that is written in, For then thou shalt make thy way successful, and then thou shalt have good success. Thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He was telling Joshua to meditate on his word. Literally, talk to himself. Just like David, right there, said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." What was he doing? He was taking control over this fine-tuned thinking machine up there between his ears. We have the same thing. See, the devil, he got completely evicted from our spirits. When we got born again, he got eradicated from our spirits. He has absolutely no access to our spirits. Our spirits are private property, 100% totally owned by God. He does, however, has access to your soul and your body. The Bible tells us that these fiery darts, these imaginations that are high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. These are ideas. You know, you'll understand that the Word of God says that by His stripes you were healed, and then you got into an atmosphere of faith and you prayed the prayer of faith over yourself with some other people that came into agreement, and everything's good. You're shouting hallelujah. But at 2 or 3 in the morning, you wake up breathing hard and your chest is pounding. And you got these thoughts rolling through your head about all these things that could happen. So what if? What if this happens? What if this doesn't happen? Are you sure you prayed the right prayer? Are you sure you used the name of Jesus? Did you do this right? What about that mistake you made last week? Are you sure that's okay? What are those things? Those are high things. Those are fiery darts. The devil's sending those things. God does not send doubt to you. That's from the devil. So we take these high things captive to the name of Jesus and we cast them down. One of the big habits with people is they want to try to beat a thought with a thought. You know, positive thinking. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of positive thinking methods out there. They're playing mental basketball with themselves. What we got to do is take that thought captive and cast it down in the name of Jesus. That means we got to say something. I mean, we have to talk to ourselves. You know, people think, you know, the world thinks they're, people are crazy when they talk to themselves. We're biblical, and we're biblically sane when we talk to ourselves. David talked to himself. He reminded himself of what God did. Remember, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So David heard himself say that. So the faith came into his heart, and he said it again. You know, he might have sat there in that cave. He spent a lot of time in caves, and he was anointed to be the king. But the false king was running around trying to kill him. But David wasn't going to kill him because he was in the covenant with Jonathan. See, David honored the covenant that he had, and God honored David. And he delivered him. But David, when he was in that cave, he really had an opportunity to really get down. You know, he could have fell into deep depression. You know, people have cave experiences all the time. You know, maybe a death happens, maybe a sickness happens, maybe something happens financially. any kind of challenge you may have can be your cave experience. How you behave in the cave is going to determine how life goes for you. See, people fall into depression and they just go with the flow. And they just say, well, that's just the way it's going to be. I'm not ever going to get over. Fight just a little bit. You know, they run into a financial challenge. They say, well, it's just the way it is. It's the economy. It's this. It's that. It's the system. The system is rigged, whatever. Fight a little bit. Don't give up. Get your words moving out of your mouth so you get it in your ear so you can get it in your heart. If you don't know what to say, pick up the Bible and read it out loud. You don't have to have it memorized. You can literally pick up the book of Psalms 91. Open it up. We're going to go there anyway. And open it up and read that out loud. There's a couple things going on there. You're hearing the Word of God. Amen. And you know, you really want to drive the devil crazy? Put "it is written" before you start reading. He doesn't like that. Jesus told him "it is written" 3 times. You know, the devil went away for a season. But he went away. That's what we want, don't it? Don't we? We want him to go away. Another thing, you're praising God, which is one of the things that God said to do. You'll be praising God, and you'll be getting your angels activated into your situation. There's an idea floating around that we get one angel. I think there's one guardian angel, but I think we have access to, I think the number is like, if they divided the angels up for every believer, I think we'd have about 72,000 apiece. That's a lot of angels, huh? And most people are running around acting like they got to do it all on their own. Go down this a little farther in Psalms 103 and circle these voices, these verses here. Verse 20 says, "Bless the Lord, you his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless you the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, that do his pleasure." What? He just said, angels, hearken unto the voice of his word. And a lot of people got this idea, they'd say angels hearken unto the voice of God, and they better. There were some that didn't, and they got cast out of heaven. But the Bible right there says they hearken unto the voice of his word. That means if you take his word and you put voice to his word, those angels have a commission. You just basically commanded them to get up off the bench and get busy. Now you don't go say, "Hey, angel, get over there." That's not what he's talking about. But when you take his word and you put it into the atmosphere, out of your mouth, so your ears can hear it, there's several things that's going to happen. Number one, you're praising God. Number two, you're hearing the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Number three, them angels, they got to hearken to the voice of God's word. Get them out there. You got a whole team of angels on your side. And they're sitting there wondering why in the world you don't say something so they can do something. See, it's more than just memorizing. Meditating on the Word of God does all kinds of things. You're praising God. You're building faith. And you're giving these angels something to do. Look at Psalm 91. This would be a really, really good one to say quite often, especially now. And personalize it. I'm going to pray this personally. Because I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God is Him whom I trust. Surely He shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings shall I trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. I am not afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I behold and see the reward of the wicked, because I have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, my habitation. There shall no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. Did you catch that? Because we're speaking God's word, He gives these angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. But we got to say something. We aren't active participants in our salvation. Now, I know that it's because of the blood of Jesus. There's nothing we can do. But we do have something to do. We have something to say. Remember when you got born again? You had to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? See, it's with the words of our mouth. That's how we activate anything that we're going to receive from heaven. And that's how we're going to activate our angels, with the words of our mouth. You know, when I first started thinking that I needed to start controlling what I say, I was out in oil field, and I had this habit of getting in a routine, and then I just rushed through my, you know, we just kind of flow through my dad. I had 500 wells that I had to take care of. And so I'd be real conscious. The first 50, I'd be saying the Word of God. You know, I'd be meditating on the Word of God. And then after, I noticed I'd fall into this rhythm, and I'd be rolling. And there was this song on the radio that just drove me crazy. It took a while to finally get away from it, but I'd catch myself. I wouldn't be paying attention to what I was thinking about. And I wouldn't be paying attention to what I was saying. I'd be in the rhythm of the day. I'd be distracted. And this song had this saying, said, if the devil danced in empty pockets, he'd have a ball of mine. And I'd catch myself singing that song. And I'd stop and I'd say, geez, I finally... You know what? I finally got where I shut the radio off. A lot of those really cool country songs are just absolutely horrible. There's even some Christian songs that are just absolutely horrible. But we got to learn how to control the words of our mouth. You know, our tongue is like a rudder for our little ship that we're in. And we're going through this thing called life, and it's going to be what we do with our tongue that's going to decide one way or the other how victorious we are. And we need a lot of help. The Holy Spirit is here to teach us and guide us, and He's given us these angels to protect us. Who needs angels' protection? Sometimes we call it the grace of God. Yeah, and see, we need to make sure that we're aware of that. We need to make sure that we cultivate that attitude. You know, the prophet and his understudy were surrounded by an enemy army, and the understudy was panicked, and he said, "Oh man, this ain't looking good." And the prophet said, "Open his eyes so he can see. There's more that are with us than are with them." And so he opened his eyes, and he just seen chariots of angels all over the place. They were surrounded. We're surrounded. If we will get our mouth activated on the Word of God and say what He says, give these angels a commission, guess what? You're surrounded by angels. But don't put them on the bench by negative words. The words of our mouth are very important. And the church has come up with this idea that they're not supposed to cuss. That's good. You're not supposed to cuss. That's good. But they'll run around and curse all the time. See, cussing's not cursing. Cursing's not cussing. Not the same thing. They'll walk around saying, "Well, I'm so tired I can't hardly get out to the pickup." Every time the wind blows, I get these allergy attacks and I just get sick as a dog. Don't walk out in the rain, you'll catch your death of a cold. I got so tired of that, hearing that. I heard people say that forever. And I just got tired of it. One day it rained and that thought was going through my head. I took my shoes off, took my socks off, walked out on the sidewalk and got wet without a coat and hat. Said, "I am not going to get sick just because I get wet." See, sometimes you got to stand up and fight some of this stuff. Then that went away. But you got to notice this. Jesus ain't going to do it for you. The Holy Spirit's not going to do it for you. Your pastor can't do it for you. You have to pick up the Word of God and go out there, draw a line in the sand and say, "It stops here. I am not going to be overcome with grief. I am not going to be overcome with sadness. I am not going to be overcome with poverty. I am not going to be overcome with sickness. I am not going to be overcome with the things of the world. I am not of this world. I am in this world, but I am not of this world. I am from the kingdom of God." Amen. The Bible says, "Whatsoever he saith, believing, that's what he shall have." Hallelujah. Amen? Yeah. Not of whom he may. The Bible says, "The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." With too many Christians walking around acting like whom he mays. You are a whosoever. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, "Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea," shall have those things that he said. Amen? Now, too many people are running around saying what they have. And not calling things that aren't as though they are. You're going to speak everything about your life into existence. The same way you spoke your salvation into existence, you're going to speak health into existence. You're going to speak finances into existence. You're going to speak protection into existence. You're going to speak everything you receive from heaven into existence, because you're going to believe it in your heart and you're going to speak it with your mouth. But you're going to have to meditate on it so that you can get a revelation of it in your heart so you can speak it forth in faith. Amen? Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything you do for us. Father, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus that protects us every day, and your angels, your ministering spirits who have been sent forth to minister to the heirs of salvation. That's us. Father, we thank you for this great ministry that has been sent to us, and the Holy Spirit who's here to teach us how to rightfully divide the word of truth. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we are victorious in Christ Jesus. We're more than conquerors. Regardless of what we have to go through to get to the other side, we're going to get there. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.